Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Fearing the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Today's passage lists many benefits of godly wisdom, including sound judgment, length of days, enduring riches coupled with honor and righteousness, and godly character that is worth more than gold or silver. Moreover, faith in Jesus Christ results in eternal life in God's presence as His joint heirs. Nothing is more valuable than that. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 8, verse 13, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of this chapter.
The fear and love of the Lord involves and includes the hatred of evil. In other words, there's no room for compromise with it. And yet we're living in a world that is seeking to redefine biblical terms, rewrite the Bible. Let's have a genderless Bible. Let's not call a male a male. Let's not call a female. It's wrong. It's sin. And it's to be hated. Not them, not the people, but those who promote those things. You see, because evil sets itself against the Lord. Evil has no regard for the purity and holiness of the Lord. There are things you and I should hate. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 10, you that love the Lord hate evil. He said, well, how do I know what evil is? Well, just get out your Bible and find out what God calls evil and agree with Him. And if you disagree with Him, you're wrong. And that's evil. You want to know what's evil? Whatever the Bible calls evil. And notice, at the top of it is pride and arrogance. The evil way, any other way. The thief climbs up some other way. They try to get into the kingdom of God some other way. There's only one way to heaven. There's only one truth in heaven. It's personified in Christ. It's written in His Word. Amos 5:4 says, seek good and not evil, that ye may live, and so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you as you have spoken. Hate evil and love the good, and establish judgment where in the gate. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 6, mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We need, saints, the church needs the fear of the Lord. We are to serve our God with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Verse 14, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I am strength. Not only is Christ the wisdom of God, but He's also the wonderful counselor. For His counsel is always that which does us good. And you find in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 20 and 21, James 3, verses 13 through 18, that sound wisdom is contrasted with the wisdom of this world, which isn't sound. It's earthly. It's devilish. What we need, again, is the wisdom that comes from God. The counsel and wisdom of God does not come to us by some mysterious method. It comes to us as we seek His face, as we read His Word, as we say, Father, give me wisdom, give me guidance, give me direction. And He will give it to you. He promises that. Do you believe that? You see, but we want quick answers, right? What is it, 7:48? I want to pray something at 7:48, and by 7:50, I want it delivered right to my house. Exactly how I requested it. How we need God's wisdom. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. And so as we learn from Daniel 4:25, the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and He gives it to whomsoever He will. And so when you look at this planet, God is on the throne. Isaiah freaked out when King Uzziah died. He had been a good king for almost 52 years. He got bad towards the end. And God brought Isaiah into the heavenly scene, and He says, the king on earth died, but Isaiah, I'm still on the throne. It's amazing how many believers freaked out. Their guy didn't win the election. God's still on the throne. The wrong guy won. God's on the throne. He rules. He reigns. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing If the politicians in our nation prayed what Solomon prayed, give me now wisdom and knowledge that I may go out and come in before this people. Wouldn't it be great if they began praying like that? That's why God tells us to pray for them. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. There's something, now, I don't want to sound legalistic. There's something for me that is so beautiful about early in the morning. There's just something so wonderful to get up and it's quiet. Now, your time with the Lord may be after midnight. It's probably just as quiet. I want to know because I'm in Technicolor dreams by then. But early in the morning, it is so beautiful. I love them that love me. But 1 John 4:19 goes further to reveal that God's love is prior to ours and is the cause of our love. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. It was his love that drew us to him. It was his goodness that leads us to repentance. Those that seek me early, early in life. So beautiful. When we were down in Peru, there was this ministry called the 10th Hour Project. And there were all of these young people from, well, they were from the state of Washington, the state of North Carolina, Iowa, just kids that were young people that were raised up in the Lord. And it was so beautiful to seek. It reminded me of Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. How beautiful to seek the Lord early in the day. How beautiful it is to seek the Lord early when problems first arise. Lord, we're coming to you before we call the experts, before we call the, you know, just, Lord, give us wisdom, give us guidance, give us direction. Pray tell, what did the early church do without all of these specialists that we have today? They prayed. They sought God, and he heard them. Riches and honor are with me, verse 18, yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now, that's spiritual riches and righteousness, because he's going to say again in verse 19, my fruit is better than gold. Now, the false teachers, the prosperity teachers, oh, that's one of their verses. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Give to my ministry. Scripture flippers. For sure. Yes, there are riches and honor, but it's of the kingdom that he's speaking of. The kingdom of God is not meat nor drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You see, the riches that God gives are things that money can't buy. You can't buy peace. You can't buy joy. You can't buy purity. You can't buy a peace of mind, can you? That all comes as we seek the Lord and his wisdom. Those are the durable riches. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord's leading is always in the way of righteousness. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, there's two paths for people to be on. The narrow path that leads to life, and the broad path that leads to destruction. Those are the only two choices every human being has. It's either the narrow path of following Christ or the broad path of following anything and everything but Jesus Christ. He says, I will cause those that love me to inherit substance. Well, Revelation 21:7 says, those that overcome will inherit all things. When do we inherit that substance? It's not always here. It's not always now, because there are many righteous believers who love the Lord, who are living in countries where they live in poverty, but they're spiritual millionaires, billionaires. The substance that we're going to inherit is when we inherit what we're going to inherit in the kingdom of God. Paul said, eye is not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, if there's any doubt as to who the personal pronouns are referring to in this chapter, verse 22 nails it. The Lord possessed me in the beginning, before his works of old. This carries this wisdom back to eternity past. Can't even really say eternity past. Eternity is just eternity. You see, we always think in terms of linear terms of time and space and, you know, seconds and minutes and hours and days and weeks and months and years and centuries, but eternity is beyond that. And here, this wisdom is spoken of as something that existed, someone that existed eternally. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs 3:19 says, the Lord by wisdom has founded the earth, and by understanding he has established the heavens. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And by him all things were created. And so who is spoken of here? This is Jesus speaking to us tonight in this chapter. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. The word set here is the same Hebrew word that we find in Psalm chapter 2, verse 6, which means to set or to anoint, where it says, yet I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. The pre-existence of Jesus Christ. He was in existence before the first verse of the Bible, before there was a universe. Jesus Christ's eternal existence, Micah 5:2, from everlasting to everlasting, was the one born in Bethlehem. His existence before the earth was in the beginning of time as we know it. That's what we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Those who reject the eternal existence of Christ and wish to make him only the first created being, as does every cult that denies the deity of Christ, are faced with the impossible task in light of all of these and many other like texts which so closely bear witness to his eternal being before all created things. In Colossians 1, 16 and 17, we read, for by him, that is Jesus Christ, were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or powers, principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. By him everything's being held together. Amen. You know what's keeping you and I from just vaporizing? Jesus Christ. You know what's keeping the solar system operating? Jesus Christ. I love those passages in Colossians. By him, for him, all things consist. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. According to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, the deep is the first thing specifically mentioned after the creation, so that what is said here of wisdom reveals his eternal existence before Genesis 1 and 2. Now that's far beyond what we can comprehend with our finite minds. We have no concept of eternity. You go to a cemetery, day of your born, day of your death, and in between the hyphen. We're living in the hyphen. We've had a beginning on earth. We've had an end, but Christ always existed. There he was in the beginning, one of the architects of creation. Verse 25, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. Psalm 90, verse 2 says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Amen. Before, I love it, before, everything else is created. The universe is created. Everything else that we see, our God is the created one. In fact, if creation were to fall apart, disappear, he'd still be in existence because he's the living God. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Now, the word compass in Hebrew is a circle. And it shows that the Bible taught that the globe was a sphere long centuries before the first scientists thought of that. Isaiah 40, verse 22 says, it is God who sits upon the circle of the earth. Our God rules tonight. Believe that? Sometimes it doesn't look like it, does it? Sometimes it doesn't look like it to the naked eye, to the natural man. Sunday morning, Lord willing, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 12, and I was thinking, wow, James, one of the prominent men, James and John, remember he said to the Lord, James and John said, can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand? Jesus says, can you be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? Can you drink the cup? Remember, what happened to James? He was killed. Peter's in prison. I'm thinking, wow, that's pretty gloomy. It looks like Herod's got control of everything that's going on. But no, Herod wasn't in control. God was in control. And he's in control tonight. Do you believe that? You see, you have three options. Either God's in control, the devil's in control, or you are in control. Which of the three do you want to be in control? Which of the three do you act like is in control? That's the question. I know you're going to give me the right theological answer, but what's the answer? Oh, God's in control. And then you go about, or I go about, to fix things and make things happen? You're kicking against the goads. Our God rules tonight. He reigns tonight. And I'm so thankful for that. Are you thankful for that? He rules and he reigns. He sits and he governs this whole universe. You see, we just think in terms of planet Earth. He rules over everything. Everything. When he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, he spoke to the sea and he says, okay, just go this far. That the water should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. All that God does is orderly. Everything that he does. And every part of the creation is bounded by his laws and his decrees. God controls how far the ocean will go. He decrees. He says, okay, stop. Think of the genetic code inside of you and me, and all the information that is inside you of me. Talk about wisdom. Psalm 139, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. The information that is in the human cell has every aspect of the human body coded into it. The development of our muscles, the development of the skeleton, the digestive system, the bloodstream, the nervous system, all this information put in there by God. And then you've got these brilliant, and thank God for them, surgeons and scientists. And they miss it because they're not looking for wisdom. They think that wisdom ends with them. But it's only in God that there is wisdom. Then I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. And so here we see the love of Christ, even before creation, manifested by his desire to see them. God saw the end from the beginning. He saw the fall of man. And God's plan of redemption, the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not a plan B. From eternity, God planned the salvation of sinners to those who would trust in his son Jesus Christ. So then he ends in verse 32. He's winding down. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed. You know that word blessed? We've seen it many times in Proverbs already. You know what it means? To be happy, to be fortunate, to be envied. Blessed are those that keep my ways. Isn't that beautiful? Psalm 119, verse 2 says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. Psalm 128, verse 1, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walks in his ways. And so the Lord says all of these things. He says, now just listen to me. Hear instruction, verse 33, and be wise and do not refuse it. Do not ignore it. There cannot be any wisdom apart from hearing God's word and applying it to our lives. Don't be content with just Bible information. Don't be content with Bible knowledge. That's good, but it must be applied. We are to be, what? Doers of the word, not hearers only. Hear instruction. Be wise. Refuse it not. The person that refuses to listen to God's word will be walking in the path of darkness, the path of self. But blessed is the man that hears me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. Blessed always has to do with happiness. That's the source of true happiness. Those who listen to God, simply listen to him. Those who watch for him, wait for him. For whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. So who's he talking about here? Finding Jesus Christ. And when you find Jesus Christ, you and I receive the promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. You see, it's in Christ that we find life. It's in Christ that we find wisdom. Whoso finds me finds life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. 1 John 5:12 says, 5:11, and this is the record that God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life, and he that has not the Son of God has not life. Question tonight, do you have eternal life? Do you have the Son of God dwelling inside of you? And then the last verse, there's this promise of life. But in verse 36, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. So here's the warning. The plan of salvation is clear. And if any man hates the Lord Jesus Christ, despises Jesus Christ, rejects the gospel of Jesus Christ, they essentially love death. 1 Corinthians 16:22 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha. There's a curse upon those who reject Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God tells us in John 3:36, and I'll close with this, he that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. And so this chapter ends with an ultimatum, life or death. And where is life found? By grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. And where is death? Death is found in Adam. Death is that place of separation from God, not only on earth, but forever. But if you tonight are here, and if you would turn to Jesus Christ and repent of your sin, he will give you a new heart. He will breathe eternal life into your soul. You see, Jesus said, not me, not any other pastor, you must be born again or you will not see or enter the kingdom of God. That's the issue. And if that's you tonight, we would love to pray with you after the service. A chapter full of wisdom. Don't you love it? I love it. I love it that we don't have to make up a new way, carve out a new way. We can look every day to the Word of God and find in the Scriptures the wisdom that we need here on earth and the wisdom that is the GPS that tells us how to get to heaven. Bless the Lord, oh my
soul, bless his holy. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
At Koinonia, we believe the church should support parents and help children grow into disciples of Jesus Christ. Light of the Lamb's Children's Ministry strives to keep the focus on preaching the gospel and teaching the Word of God, helping kids discover their spiritual gifts and mobilizing them for the work of the ministry. Children's programs are available during Sunday services, and kids' clubs meet on Wednesday during the evening services at Koinonia.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.